Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What if the story of one family could tell the story of an entire nation? Today on This Week in America, I welcome back Dr. Antonio A.B. Montalban to discuss his sweeping historical novel, The Ultimate Quest, spanning five generations, set against the backdrop of the Philippines during the final years of Spanish colonial rule and beyond. This powerful epic explores identity, sacrifice, resilience, and the lasting impact of history on families and nations. Drawing from a lifetime of extraordinary experiences, including witnessing the aftermath of World War II, serving as a colonel and flight surgeon in the U.S. Air Force, and decades in medicine, Dr. Montalban brings remarkable authenticity to this deeply human story. If you enjoy historical fiction filled with emotional depth, rich cultural history, and unforgettable characters, you won't want to miss this fascinating conversation about The Ultimate Quest, a story about freedom, belonging, and the enduring power of family legacy. And author Dr. Antonio A.B. Montalban, our guest once again on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you back with us.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you very much for inviting me and get this opportunity to explain myself.
Well, it's what a remarkable job that you've done with The Ultimate Quest. This book, as I mentioned, spans five generations, some of the most turbulent times in Filipino history. What was the inspiration to tell this story? How did this idea begin to write The Ultimate Quest?
Well, actually, it was a very accidental, if you will, and it's all the result of my wife's commendation, if you will. Hey, what happened was this, that about 5-6 years ago, she fell ill. And at that time, she needed some medical help and all that. And she's under hospice and had to sit by her most of the time just to help her, give her some moral support and all that. Since sitting by her was almost impossible to just do nothing but just look at the four winds or four corners of the room, I decided to take my laptop and write something about my own memories. And I did just to kill time. And at that moment, after about 2 or 3 pages, Siri asked me what I was doing, and I told her about what I was doing, about memorial recommendations. And he said, let me take a look at it. And she read it. And I'll tell you one thing, after a while, she looked at me, laughed a little bit, and said, you know, this is the dullest picture story I've ever heard. And I said, oh, how do you mean dullest? Well, nobody will ever listen to you, or nobody would like to take interest in your personal narratives. So why don't you do this? Why don't you write it in a third person? What do you mean? I said, well, whatever your experiences are, put it on somebody else's terms. And that's how it all began. And because of this, I started to recall all the events that have happened since my early childhood until then. As a matter of fact, I had to give credit to my great-great-grandmother, who died at 106. And she gave me the story all about her father, who was a Spanish soldier, but married to a Filipino young lady in Manila. And that was the beginning of the family longitude, if you will. And because of that, I mean, she told me the stories about how he presented himself to the community and everything else. And that transformed into something that has a very dynamic step-by-step transition from one age to the other age. And I was just very lucky to have a great-grandmother who still had a good, clear recollection. She was blind for 20 years, but her hearing was splendid. As a matter of fact, she could identify me by walking on our floorboard.
Yes.
And That to me was a really a great experience. And then, of course, my grandfather also supplemented some stories about their own background, and the rest was my own observation.
Well, you tie it all together so well in The Ultimate Quest. The author is our guest back on the program, Dr. Antonio A.B. Matabán. That's Matabán. We've got the link to his book on Amazon on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book available wherever books are sold. It is a fascinating read. Once you decide, okay, you're going to tell this in the third person, how did you come up with the five generations and deciding to make this a historical novel? These are based on people that feel real to us as readers, and historically accurate as well. How did that come about, the format for the book?
Well, actually, it all started with just one family and all that. That's what the third person was. And then naturally, a family doesn't just stay stable. It has to grow. And as a result of that, there are children, grandchildren, and so forth and so on. And that's how it is. But all of their actions, all the activities that they have performed, every experiences that they have had, were all my own personal experiences that I observed, seen, and have actually had the opportunity to be able to retain some of those and keep them in mind, even up to my old age. I'm only at my age, I still can recall so many things that have happened, especially during the early colonial times, with America. And at the time, my first meeting with an American surgeon, for instance, was a very interesting enterprise because he was in. We invited him when my sister was born, and was being delivered. And the reason that I sort of kind of enjoyed his company was because he was only about 6 feet 4 inches, and I was only about a 3 foot four. Four, three, 3 feet. And at that time, when I went over because we were in the in town at the time, and I was told my dad told me to please go ahead and go pick him up and ask him to come over and attend to my mom's delivery. And it was showering, and I had to bring an umbrella with me. And guess what? I had to hop put the umbrella over his head with me virtually tiptoeing in order to be able to because of his height.
That yes.
He was such a very fine gentleman, and so that actually motivated me, as a matter of fact, to become a doctor one day, sometime.
It's amazing the impact that he had on you, and you recall that and talk about it like it was just a week ago when you ran into him, and you're holding the umbrella on your tiptoes trying to keep him dry. What was it like, the U.S. involvement in the Philippines? Looking back on the history as we read it here, it was what the country was bought from Spain. What was the early days like with U.S. involvement in the Philippines?
I'll tell you one thing is they brought with them a sense of democracy, which we never knew what it meant, to be honest with you. And established what actually they did was they upgraded our school system to begin with. And they did not hesitate to meet with the people. Unlike the Spaniards, the Spaniards were very, very aristocratic, and they would like to keep on their own and never wanted to be mixing with anybody. But then the Americans, especially the American soldiers and the nurses, in particular, who help us in many of our hospital works and all that, then they have improved, if you will, modernized the system and all that. And it's basically in school. And they would not hesitate to come into school and teach us or give us some few little lessons and whatsoever. And it's where we learn to become more efficient in our way of accepting in English rather, as our next language. Because all of the many schools before Spain vacated the country had been all in Spanish. And consequently, we had to learn how to learn, relearn, if you will, in your language. And it is fascinating to learn something. And then after that, after the colonial phase of it, then we have World War II, which came in. And after the liberation of the Philippines by the Americans, I had the opportunity to work in American camps. And that's where I learned more more English diction, if you will. And they were very, very warm to anybody who was coming to work and coming and serve, if you will. And it was really nice. We were working in the base, no pay, but we were given rations whenever they had their rations, and they shared meals whenever they had meals. Other than that, it was a very, very highly productive enterprise, if you will. And that was nice.
Talk about the transition that you went through following medicine. You talked about where that sort of idea from an American came to you. Coming to the United States, once you're here, becoming part of the military, even after you left the military, retired, giving back to the military with medical aid, what was this transition like to the United States, and what was the allure here? What was the main motivation for you and the family to relocate to the U.S.?
Well, actually, it wasn't my whole family that wanted to relocate here first. It was my first intention was to him, because I already had some residency training while we were, I was in the Philippines still. And, United States established one big air base in the Philippines aside from two big naval bases. And I was accepted as an intern and then a resident in one of the bases, Clark Air Base, Air Force Base, to begin with. And after 4 years, I was able to finish that and started my private practice. But when I was in private practice in the Philippines, I learned that we in my own home province, we didn't have any urologists. So I applied for urological training here in the United States and was accepted. And that's how I came in by myself in 1963. And it was a very interesting, transition for me, because I get used to the language, so naturally the habits of everything that I met or encountered were all essentially well known to me already, and all that.
Yes.
And then after that, because I got married before I came here. About 3 years before I came here, and I invited my wife to come in for company because they allowed us easy, migration, if you will, visitors visas, if you will. And at that time, it was easy for her. I was still in my third year residency when she came in, and. After I finished my residency, we were contemplating going back to the Philippines, but then somebody asked me to, why don't you take some of the state licenses to see if you can stay here? I said, well, okay. So I took the state license for New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania and passed all of them. And I was very lucky. And then all of a sudden, I was given an opportunity to stick around and start a practice in the United States. I couldn't believe that. But I was offered a private practice up in Hampton Bays, New York. And that's where I brought all my three boys with us because of the fact that, after all these years, you just don't stand around and have a sort of blank family. And consequently, after 4 years, I was given the opportunity to think about extending further or possibly join the service. And I said, well, why not join the service and give back what this country has given to us, and then we can go back to the Philippines. Well, my wife was at first reluctant to the idea, But then after we had been in the service for about 6 years, 6 months, and she was involved with family services as, as one of the other attending volunteers. She fell in love with the service, and when I was informed that we could extend if we want to, and that's how it was. It just began from that moment on, and we stayed on for about 21 years.
It's just an amazing story, The Ultimate Quest by Dr. Antonio A.B. Montalban. The book is available wherever books are sold, a link to Amazon on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Two words that come up often in your book, identity and resilience. Let's talk about the identity issues. You mentioned in the background you've got Spain, you've got the United States, you've got Native Filipinos. What was that like, and how difficult was it to maintain an identity when you had so many different countries involved in the Philippines?
Well, practically, it wasn't difficult at all. As a matter of fact, on the contrary, it was so easy and easy to be to seek an identification and be recognized, if you will. And part of that is because of the fact that we were not in a restricted environment. I guess that's for me. Well, I don't know about some of the others, although I presume that their experience is similar. Latitude of identity and all that I have experienced. So I had no problems with it at all. And besides that, because of the fact that I've had great grandparents who were very notable for their memories and for their being able to shed some light on their background, that gave me a lot of emphasis on what I could do for my own life. And then again, what is best even was the exposure to many of the new foreign ideas.
What was it like writing this? Well, first of all, how long did it take you to write this book? The characters are so well developed. I had to spend some time with that. You, historically accurate, you went back and basically totally restructured. How much time did it take to write The Ultimate Quest?
Well, to be honest with you, it took my wife and I about 5 years to really fulfill or finish a product, to establish a finished product. We made many revisions and many alterations, if you will. And I'll tell you one thing is this, that I give credit to my wife because she graduated an English teacher in one of the universities in Manila. And she became a teacher in English teacher, even in the high school that we both grew up in. I also served in that school for a while I was in private practice. But anyway, it was her who actually read the book, read the article in such a minuscule way that critical if she would. If there's a few words that she didn't think was correct, she would actually, she would not change it, but she'd recommend that I recommend and see what I think about it. So it was a dual concept, if you will, whenever we have a change of venue and some of the in retelling the story. That's what it was.
Well, a dual project from the page two of the rough draft that you started, that she went back and said, this is not going to work. What was her final, when she looked at the finished product, what you and her put together, what was her final assessment? She had to be very pleased with how her pupil responded and the kind of book that he wrote.
Well, I didn't know. When I finished the book and I had it published initially for one small publisher, and I gave the book to some of my friends up here. Well, I tell you one thing is this, they were all agog with interest and all that, but that's about all they could do, just show interest, but nothing more.
Well, it just, the book is, the people who read it are really enthralled with the people, with the stories, with what the world situation was like during that five-decade span that you talk about, five generations. What did this do for you in going back and reconstructing your past and the past of the Philippines? What impact did this book have on you?
Well, I'll tell you one thing is this. It made me feel like I'm alive.
Yes.
Because, you know, it made me feel, you know, when you go back to some old background, self-background, if you will, that makes a lot of difference in how you deal with issues, whether you're confronted with something and all that. Although I have to admit, I try to avoid going back to this background just to avoid something that I didn't think was correct or appropriate for the moment. I let the moment's events take care of himself, and let the past take the past.
Well, it's interesting, each generation facing unique challenges, and all those are brought to life. And Dr. Montalban's book, The Ultimate Quest, book available wherever books are sold. What do you hope the impact is from reading the book, especially maybe young people who are not that familiar with Filipino history, or young Filipinos who are maybe relocated to the United States now? What do you hope the impact of the book is?
Well, I have to admit one thing. I have not met anybody among my compatriots who have read it, except those who have been with me, associated with me here within our neighborhood. And even then, they were very, very conservative. Filipinos are known to be very conservative with their opinions. They just don't go out and open themselves wide and say, well, hey, this is it. No, they don't do it that way. They're a very, very conservative group of people. And even if you give them a fantastic recollection of events, to them, that is, well, it's a laughing matter or not at all.
Well, the book is touching people in a way with history that maybe they did not reflect on the Philippines and all of the changes. You can see changes worldwide during the reading of The Ultimate Quest. Let's talk a little bit about the Philippines today. A couple minutes left at the end of the program. Tell us about the country today. I know you went through turmoil with some leaders there and some corruption, and of course, COVID took its toll. What's the Philippines like today, do you think?
I'll tell you one thing. Since the last time we were visiting the country with my wife was way back in 2017. At that moment, at the time, events in the country were sort of politically heavy. In other words, that everybody was talking more about politics and everything else, and they just sort of overlook some of their own personal needs, just because the political situation back then was very sensitive. And even now, it's still very sensitive. Now, recently, there was an event in the Philippine Senate where a shooting took place. And they probably thought they were in America.
Yes.
And but that's not the Philippine way. Although one thing is this, let me just recall one thing, that after World War II, the Philippines gained its independence, the new president put over a new law, and anybody who has had any personal weapons of some sort, gunshots and all, shotguns and all that, have to surrender them or face serious jail sentences. And that's how we managed to gather all the weapons that were collected. These weapons were given actually locally by the American forces as a gift. I don't know why, but even my dad received a .45 caliber, which he never knew how to use. And I was confiscated back to them and taken by the government. And this where we had sort of a close to a peaceful moment, although at that time we also had a rising communist group, the Hawks, H-U-K-S, Hawks. And they were all the problem that the country had to terminate at the earliest possible time. And I was one of those youngsters who joined the service and was involved in their campaign. But that's only for a short period of time because I had to go to school and I was in. Well, at any rate, the Philippines today, from what I hear, from what I read, is a little quite secure with its own principles and its own government runs and all that. So I think that they are doing fine. The fact that you don't hear anything more serious except for that little thing, event that happened in the Senate lately, nothing in the Philippines has ever transformed what I think has been a local behaviorism. The people normally love to have peace. They enjoy that, and they would like to maintain that.
Well, after you read The Ultimate Quest, you will want to see where the Philippines are today, what life is like there. Maybe do a little history lesson, another history lesson, and geography lesson on the Philippines. It's a remarkable job you've done with that. And I want to mention at the end, tell me about the shirt you're wearing. The video of this is up on YouTube, our YouTube channel. I love this shirt, and this is like was a gift from your wife.
Yes, it is a gift for my wife. It's what we call a Baron Tagalog. It's made out of pineapple fiber. You won't believe it. But that is a Philippine tradition. And usually sometimes they come in several special styles and all that. But essentially, this is the basic style that's usually used. I have one white Baron Tagalog with all the MD symbols in it. And I didn't want to wear them. I like this one here because I like to wear it in a situation like this to remind me of my wife's good fortune and having me this gift, if you will.
Well, it's very nice. It's the first thing I noticed when we were getting set for the interview. It's like, you look better than I do today. I really like that shirt, and you told me the background of that. So it's an amazing story behind it. It looks good. Check it out, the YouTube for this program, and you can check out the interview and see the shirt as well. Just a couple seconds here at the end. You've really done a remarkable job in writing this book. I mean, you bring the story alive. It's very cinematic. We see what you're talking about as you're writing. Are you writing anything else?
I've written another book and I'm still revising it because it's all about, again, is a book about the local scene in the Philippines. I don't know whether I'm going to have it published or not, but at the present time, I'm still going over it.
Well, let us know when you do and we'll talk about it. I love what you've done with the book. The book is called The Ultimate Quest. You'll find it wherever books are sold. The author, our guest, Dr. Antonio A.B. Mataban. That's Mataban. The link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, will take you to his Amazon page. Doctor, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. And please do not forget to mention my wife is my co-author, and I forgot to have it. I added during the publication, the first published book. There are a couple of publishers now have included her name as my co-author. Okay.
Well, yes, we appreciate that.
Lourdes Patria de Vera Mataban.
And the role she had was, I was going to say, instrumental. It was probably more than that in guiding you and being an old English teacher with the red pen. She can go through and mark things and get things spiffed up for the editing process. Thank you for being with us on the program. And my thanks as well to Inkstart Media, Hybrid Publishing and Marketing Solutions, Hybrid Solutions for Complex Publishing Problems, offering both publishing and marketing services and packages, Inkstart Media. And be sure to check out all of our programs, this program and many more, on our podcast network, 28 that we're on, including Apple, Spotify, iHeart, and more. And of course, you'll find us on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and many more. Just link on and listen to this and more programs.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.